بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. اشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. Now I got good response to it today. Pretty good. Yeah, they were weak. Today pretty strong. See? I judge that by the response. If I say sound like them, they go, so was it? No, I haven't been good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in the Quran, to the Quran, for him, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, in the deen, in the life of Islam. Translation plus or minus in the English might be, as we find in Yusuf Ali and other translations to English, that verily the true religion with Allah is only Islam. Allah also says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, يا أيها الذين آمنوا أدخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. And again, the plus or minus translation, it would be, O you who believe, enter perfectly into Islam and do not follow the footsteps of a shaitan, the devil. Verily, he is to you a plain enemy. The reason I selected those two particular, we say verses in English, ayah or proofs in Arabic, is because today we find that some of the leaders, our leaders here in our country, are calling for a unity which is not a unity proven or established by Islam. It's not based on Quran and Sunnah. It is a unity, but it is a unity with shaitan. So we have to be careful. We as Muslims also know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَاللَّهَ تَفَارَقُ, which means, and don't separate. He said it is حَرَمَ تَفَارَقُ. It's haram for you to divide. He also says to us, hold fast all of you to the habl of Allah, which means cable or rope, to hold together all of you. So this is not a suggestion. The order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever disobeys the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in matters of this nature, they go far astray. So for us as Muslims, we have to know what it is that we're supposed to be united on. Because we could all get together and agree to rob a bank, and we would be in unity, but it would be wrong against Islam, isn't that true? So we have to think, what are we uniting on? And who are we uniting with? We've been warned. Enter into Islam perfectly and do not follow the footsteps of the shaitan. And even though, by the way, we might love somebody very much and they may have sacrificed a lot for Muslims, they might have done a lot of good work, we still cannot follow them into an area which is against Islam. In fact, it becomes our responsibility to stand up to that person in a kind manner, of course, with hikmah, with wisdom, and advise them and tell them, brother, this is a stray going. This is not the way. And then if he has some proof and can show us, well, then he should bring it. Now, how many, if you all don't mind if I ask some questions while I'm giving this little short talk, hopefully it'll be short. But how many of you here used to be a Christian? Anybody? Oh my God. Over half. Okay, well, so how many of you have studied the Christian religion from the standpoint of know a little bit about it in the Hebrew or the Greek, or studied the Bible and know the history of the Christian church? How many? Still a good number. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. So, for those of you that have studied this, what I'm going to say we'll come real quickly. But for the benefit of those that perhaps don't have that background, I just would like to, reiterate some of the things which perhaps we mentioned before, but still it bears listening to again. You see, as Allah has said in the Quran, which we started with, in the Dina, in the Lahi Islam, this has always been the religion that Allah accepted. Even with our grandfather Adam, he wanted him to do what? He wanted him to Islam. What is Islam? Islam is simple. Very simple. Not easy, but it's simple. Islam is describing the relationship between us as the creation and Allah as the creator. Islam means that we give up the free will that He gave us. He gave us the ability to make a choice between right and wrong. And we give up any of the choice to make wrong in favor of the choice to make right. And we ask Allah to make us of those who choose the right way. We submit, surrender, obey in purity of intention only for Allah, and we do it in peace. This is the meaning of Islam. When our grandfather Adam came on the scene, when he was created in the beginning, Allah gave him everything. He was in the Jannah. He gave him everything he wanted. But he told him only one thing. Don't eat from this tree. Did he know that Adam would eat from the tree? Of course he did. If you say anything else, this is a question mark on aqidah and belief. Allah knew that. Some people might ask the question, then why did He create the tree? Well, why don't you ask the question, why did He create, period? That was up to Him. But He created it as a test. Not that He needs to know, but Adam needs to know. You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, you know what he said? He said in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created good things. Paradise and hell. Then He created the occupants for both places. And He knew when He created them where they were going to go. And He could have just thrown them there. The ones in paradise would say what? I'm here by some virtue of myself. I'm a pretty good guy here. And the ones in hell would be saying what? Hey man, what I do? As soon as Allah created us and gave us the free will, He knew instantly, not even in a nanosecond, He knew instantly which way we chose to go. But He created the scenario that we're walking around in, so on the day of judgment, we wouldn't have any complaints. We will bring testimony against ourselves. Prosecuting attorney is who? Me. Witnesses against me? Me. My hands, my tongue, my eyes, my ears, my feet, all bringing all this evidence against me. In my mind, I'm thinking, shut up, guys, you're going to hell with me, you know? But they're going to keep on talking. And it says Allah is the judge on the day of judgment. That's right. But by the way, He already knows. He already knew. And He knew what Adam would do in the beginning. So He didn't create Adam to be perfect. He created angels to be perfect. He created Adam to make mistakes so that Adam could do what? Repent. And when he repented to Allah, Allah accepted him. And all of the sons and daughters of Adam after that all had exactly the same condition. We all had free will. We all had a choice. And we could do what we wanted to do. Those who chose to worship Allah alone, live this life on His terms and conditions, are called Islamers in English. But in Arabic, they're Mu-Islam, Muslims, those who do Islam. Surrender, submit, obey in purity and in peace what Allah has ordained for us to do. Does it make sense? Okay, so what happened to the religion of Islam? We can see it came, not by name, essentially, but it came from the very beginning. But what happened? immediately Shaitan. And he whispered. I heard some of you brothers mention a little while ago about the whispering. And that's where it starts from. And then, when the religion is purified again, it's not long before Shaitan starts whispering again. Isn't that true? Didn't it happen with Noah, alayhi salam, peace be upon him? That Allah washed everybody away that didn't accept that message. By the way, he preached for 950 years. And less than 100 people accepted Islam. And I don't feel so bad. If I don't see somebody make shahada every week, I get upset. But can you imagine 950 years? And Allah washed away every single human, at least in that area, that wasn't a Muslim. Saved only the ones in the ark. So it meant it wasn't anybody but Muslims left, right? So what happened? Shaitan came to the next group and got them off the path. And then Ibrahim, alayhi salam, came. He had to leave his group. They were so bad. But what about his generations and his children? Do you know that Abraham's children were both prophets? Ismail and Ishaq were both prophets. So we say, alayhi salam, after their name because they were prophets. Both of them. And Ishaq, alayhi salam, his son, one is a prophet. And then one of his, that son has prophets, which is Jacob, became Israel. And he has 12 sons. And Yusuf is a prophet from him. And Ben-Hamin is a prophet from him. And so on. So, wow, look at all the prophets that came to him. Prophets. So how could anybody go wrong? But they did. And then Musa, alayhi salam, came. And by now, they're in bondage. They're in slavery in Egypt. Allah lets the water split in front of Moses. And they walk through the Red Sea. And all the children of Israel going through behind them. And as soon as they get to the other side and set up camp and so on, Musa, alayhi salam, goes up in Mount Sinai. We call it Mount Sinai in English. And while he's up there, what happened? He's up there, what happened? They took their gold and made a calf and started to worship a golden calf. The prophet went up and they did it. Shaitan. It keeps happening, doesn't it? I'd like to now talk about history as we understand it. That 325 years B.C., what we call B.C., 325, there was a person by the name of Alexander, or in English, Alexander the Great. Now this guy, according to his own diary, was a homosexual. According to his own diary, he was an alcoholic. He died at a very young age, like in his 40s. But not before he had gone around and conquered many, many places. And his big objective was to do what? Unite everybody under one banner. And in those days, nobody thought about separating religion and state. You know why? Because people knew then, real clear, there isn't any difference. Because what a man believes is what he believes. And his belief and his faith automatically affect what he does in his life. You can't separate these two things. So that's why he made such an effort to set up learning centers, training centers, which were very similar to, you know, like Gold's Gym today, where you could work out and at the same time get understanding, education, and you would be a full Roman citizen if you would accept the Roman religion. And by the way, who can tell me what was the name of that religion? 325 B.C. Who can tell me the name of it? It was called the Universal Religion of Unity. It was called Catholic. It was 325 years before Christ. B.C. I keep emphasizing B.C., Alexander the Great. Okay? Catholic Church was in business before Christ was born. Now that's no surprise, by the way, to a bishop or a cardinal. If you tell them, they say, so what? It's just a name. But that church existed. And it was to do what? To bring all religions together under one roof. You've got a God, bring it. No sweat. You got something you like to worship, throw it in. No problem. You got a holiday you like, jump it right on in there. That's no problem. But was it Islam? And if you didn't accept it, you couldn't be a full Roman citizen. You could stay, you know, in your little village and be a nobody. But if you want to be a Roman citizen, if you want to go to college, equivalent of what we call college today, you had to accept that religion. Unity. One religion. One government. And particularly, who do you think that they were against? The Jewish. Why? Because the Jews at that time had Islam. They were following Islam. Those who tried to follow it anyway were highly oppressed by this movement. Because obviously they couldn't accept worshiping a statue of an eagle or a statue of a naked lady. It wouldn't work. They didn't even want something like that in front of their temple. Which, by the way, the Romans gave them a big eagle and set it in front of their temple in about maybe 50 BC or something like that. And there was such a riot over it, they did in broad daylight, they destroyed it. And their person called the Teacher of Righteousness, according to Josephus's writing, was incarcerated over that thing. Because they didn't want that statue in front of their temple, the Jewish temple. Now, most of us are pretty familiar with the story, at least what is implied, what happens when Jesus comes, peace be upon him. That Isa, according to us, there was an incident that came up. Some people said, well, we don't like you to use Jesus. Well, okay, we had him before you had him, but that's okay. You know, we'll say Isa. We'll say Isa, because it's what it says in the Quran. You don't like it, you think we're attacking your religion. Okay, Isa. Who is the son of Miriam? Who was born of virgin birth? Okay, figure it out. And called the Messiah. We can say that because it says that in our book. Okay? Which, by the way, Messiah, translates into Greek as Christos. So we can also say Christ with no problem. We just won't put a J in front of Isa. And that will placate those guys for about 10 minutes and they'll think of something else. So, what happened at that time was that Isa a.s. came with a message that was very clear. And the Jews were going for it pretty good until he said what? Stop and think what they were looking for. They wanted somebody that was going to be a physical leader in this world with a sword in hand and let's kick some serious Roman stuff. Well, I'm taking it. I have to be careful with that. He looked like the guy, you know, he's doing some miracles here, check it out. Blind guy can see. Leper guy is cured of his disease. Dead guy starts walking, we like it. Looking good. Walking on some water. Hey, he's our boy, let's put him right out there. And what'd he say? Man, wait a minute, just Sunday we were putting down the hosannas for him, and now what's he talking about? Talking about another prophet? Talking about somebody else is going to come? Okay, all right. And he's going to lead us to all its truth? Okay, that'll work. And he's coming from who? I don't think so. Our cousins? Some Arabs? That's not going to work. We're only going to accept it from our bloodline. We're going to prove up he's from our bloodline. That's the way it went down. I'm trying to put it in just common English, but that's what happened. So, if he's going to say that, we're going to shut him up. We're going to get some people behind us, and we're going to go over to his house and, you know, party. And they tried to do what? They tried to put him on the Salib. What is Salib? Who can tell me what's a Salib? Cross. And Allah said in the Quran, they did not Salib him. They didn't cross him. He wasn't on the cross. Isa. I'm talking about Jesus. I don't know who that is. Isa was not on the cross, but something that looked like it, Allah said. Something looked like it was on the cross. Some people said that was the one who sold him out, which would be Judas Thomas Iscariot. Little side issue for those of you that like to know about words. The word Thomas Go look it up in the dictionary. It means twin, dead ringer. Somebody that looks just like somebody else. Judas, Thomas, Iscariot. Dead ringer for who? Suppose he looked just like Jesus. And that's how they grabbed him by mistake. Good question. And I really don't care. That's his problem. What I'm interested to know is, what happened with the religion? What happened? Because when he brought it, some of those people did listen to him, and some of those people followed Islam, and they spread that Islam, and they were what? Persecuted. Were they persecuted? Did they pick them up and throw them in the pen and turn the bears and lions loose on them, and the gladiators loose on them? And did they peel them alive and take their skin off of them? Did they put a saw blade between their scalp and cut them in half? Yeah, that's what they did to them. If you like la ilaha illallah, that's what you can expect. If you practice the true, real Islam, you can expect that. You say, Yusuf, where you get that from? Allah said it. You know the spider? Surah Ankabut, chapter 29, verse 2, verse 3. Do they think they'll be left alone on saying we believe and they won't be tested? For sure we're going to test them as he tested those before to show the truth of those that are truthful and to show the liars in their falsehood. Who said it? Allah said that. So for those brothers who come into the deen and they said, man, it's hard. Why am I having all these difficulties? Why'd that happen to me? Well, Allah promised you that. He's showing you who you really are. But if you're patient and you hang on, then he says, فَإِنَّمَا أَوْسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّمَا أَوْسْرًا. Then he'll make it easy. After difficulty comes ease. Surely after difficulty will come the ease. We got to be patient. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah says in the Quran, he's with those who are patient. But is he going to test us on that? Yep. You know that. What happened 325 B.C. happened again in 325 A.D. Guess what? Think, what's the position of the Muslim? Think about it. They have no weapons. They have no government. They have no leader, really. They are just little ragtag, little band over here, little band over there. But because of the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were making big fitna for the Romans. The Romans could not stand these guys. Every time we turn around, there they are again with their la ilaha illallah. So in 325, they tried again to do the same thing. Scoop them up into one big religion. Who did that? Who did it? Constantine the Second. What was his goal? Put everybody under one religion and one government. And they had a triune government. They had triune government. The name of the church they already had was called what? Catholic. We got it. And when they said, okay, now check this out. A little story. Maybe you like stories. I do. Check out what this guy was. He was a bad guy. And he was tough cookie. You know what? He was jealous of his own son. He was scared his son was going to be coming in and usurping his authority. Huh? It can happen, you know. So he decided to do away with him. He boiled him alive. That's pretty cool. Do that to your own kid. Boiled him alive. Now the mother of that boy took exception to that. She didn't like it at all. But he thought that he had now gotten all of the people that was following him scared of him, and now they'd all be with him. But instead, they shifted our support behind her. So now, and she had support too. In those days, you know, women had political influence and control, and she had some influence. And so, guess what? He boiled her alive too. Now, then people also took exception to that. They didn't like it. So guess what? They kind of chased him out. And that's why he took off. If you wonder why he left Rome, if you wonder what happened, that's what happened. He took off, and that's how he went over to what's now Turkey. And at the place called Nicaea, they had a conference or council. And what he did, he asked some questions of various religions. There were many religions. And he happened to be in one called Saul Invictus, the invincible son. And he believed he was the son of the sun, meaning S-O-N of the S-U-N. And in 318, he had killed the son of Jupiter in a battle. And he had seen, by the way, he used to stare at the sun. I bet you can really have a lot of hallucinations like that. He had seen in one of his visions a huge shield with a red cross on it. That's where that came from. So in 325, when they had this council, they brought in these various churches. Now, he had already found the one he liked, because when he talked to some of these religions, he had asked them, if a man killed his son and his wife, could he be forgiven? They all said no. Until he came to one. And the one said, yes, if he'll say Jesus is the Son of God. He said, well, there's no sweat there for me. I'll do that. So this one little small group of Christians who had this concept suddenly were elevated over those with the Tawheed who said that he wasn't Son of God. It's a little story. I thought you'd enjoy that. Now, the rest of you know what happens at Nicaea Council. They have a big meeting, and 800 or 1,000 scholars show up. Those that don't agree with the outcome after 3 days of fighting, they killed them. There were over 200 books that they presented, of which 26 are all that remain in the New Testament. And by the way, guess what else? They didn't put them all in at that time. The book of Revelations went in and out. Other books went in and out over the next couple hundred years. Weird. But if you want to know more details on this subject, because I need to move on back to my subject, let me mention a couple of books you could enjoy. Who wrote the Bible? T.S. Eliot. He didn't write the Bible. He wrote the book called Who Wrote the Bible? T.S. Eliot. Look that one up. You'll enjoy it. You'll be very surprised. He comes up with the conclusion that about four or five people actually wrote what's called the books of Moses. And there's another book that you might enjoy by one of the big Christian scholars of the New Testament, F.F. Bruce, very famous. If you mention him to any of the Bible scholars, they'll get all excited and think you did something good until you tell them what he said in his book called The History of the Translations of the English Bible. Try reading that one. That's a good read. Another couple of books you might enjoy, The Messianic Legacy, very good book. Another book, Dead Sea Scrolls Deception. And another book, Holy Blood, Holy Grail. Read those books and realize that these are research books written by research people. And in one of them it mentions that they went to the Anglican Church, to the bishop, and they laid out all their facts in front of him and showed historically all the things that happened. They said, look, we now know for sure that these are mistakes in the Bible, that Jesus wasn't any Son of God. The people didn't even believe that at that time. And guess what? The bishop said, we already know that. We already know that. They said, well, then how can you continue to teach this? What you teach every Sunday. He said, it's what the people want to hear. Whoa. Whoa. By the way, just on that subject, I met a chaplain by the name of John. He was a Catholic. But he liked to promote any kind of activity to do with Islam. He liked Islam. He liked Muslims. He liked Quran, so many things. I used to keep a card list of people that I knew, and I'd call him back and talk to him. One time I said, John, can I ask you a question? He said, sure, anything. I said, you like Islam, don't you? He said, yeah. I said, you like Muslims? Yeah. You believe there's only one God? Well, yeah. I said, okay, why don't you become a Muslim? He said, what? I lose my job? Whoa. Whoa. So what happened is that, again, religions were all put religion all under one banner. One religion. If you got it, bring it. It's no problem. And that's what happened to Christianity. Look it up. Look it up. Don't take my word for it. Who am I? I'm nobody. But go look in your own encyclopedia. Look in your own books. And see, where did Halloween come from? Where did December the 25th come from? Didn't they believe that was the shortest day? And didn't they believe Julius Caesar was born on that day? And didn't they already worship on that day? And what about the winter solstice? And the spring equinox? Easter used to be called the Feast of Ishtar. Where did it come from? Where did it all come from? Stop and think. And it tells you this is not a part of the religion that Isa, alayhi salam, brought. I almost said Jesus, but of course I don't want to do that. The point here, what we're trying to get at, is what happens when you try to meld Islam into other religions. Allah said, "Inna deena indallahi Islam." The only thing He's going to accept is what? Islam. What if somebody would like another religion along with Islam, or part of Islam, or other than Islam? Allah said in Surah Al Imran, وَمَا يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامَ الدِّينِ. All of those who would like to have a religion other than Islam, Allah, He's not going to accept it. And in the next life, they'll be in hell. Losers. SubhanAllah. So He made it real clear. He spelled it out. So when those people began to accept this idea, and the notion of God is three was argued, they used to argue about it. They didn't accept it. They had big arguments about it. And the one who brought the most proof in the fact that this is one and these scriptures support that, suddenly he got poisoned. The Catholic Church has been poisoning their popes ever since, by the way. But guess what? It's recorded. And we know it. A few years later, they had another conference, council, argued about some of these points again, threw out a couple of books, stick in a couple of books. How many people know that the Bible at that time contained 73 books? By the time it was up to Jerome to put it down in Latin, what's called the Latin Vulgate, there were 73 books. How many books are in the King James Version? 66. Oops. How many in the Catholic Bible? 73. Whoops. Can both of them be right? Are there two Bibles in heaven and these two are one? No, wait, I'm sorry. Where did I get that from? There's a passage, by the way, which is mentioned in the Epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 7, which said there are three that bear witness in heaven, but Father, the Spirit, and the blood, and these three are one. F.F. Bruce, in his book, says this is interpolation. It was added. It doesn't belong there. It wasn't in the original scriptures. Who said it? Christian scholars said that. Whoa. Because that's the one that all the people that follow the Trinity point to. They need that. So when the Revised Standard Version of the Bible came out, they took it out. And the people that like to follow the King James Version told them, you better put that back in. You can put a footnote under there, but you put that back in there. We need that. In order to support the idea of putting yourself in with other religions, you have to throw away some of your book or modify some of your book because it isn't what Allah said. How about in the Bible, according to F.F. Bruce and other scholars of the Bible, in the book of Mark, which is the second book in the New Testament, chapter 16 is the last chapter. It stops at verse 9. But in King James Version, it goes up to 22. In another version, it goes up to verse 11. But the oldest manuscripts go to 9. So it gives you three choices. And these three are one. Do we want to try to fall for that rotten scheme again? Do we want to try to put all of us together and say that, I'm talking about all the humans on earth, and say we're all in one religion? Just do a little modification. The Jews already proposed this to us in the last decade. Do you know that? They said they could resolve the Palestinian issue real easy. Real easy. They can give you this land, that land, and so on and so. Only thing we're asking you to do is just one thing. We don't know why you're so hard-headed. They said, what do you want? They said, just take out those things that are against us as Jews in your Quran. Just take that out. They said it. It's on videotape, man. They said it. Just take that out of your book. Which means what? Means they don't have any problem taking stuff out of their book, does it? Can we take anything out of the Quran? One word? A letter? A mark? No. Alhamdulillah, we've got the Quran. We don't always necessarily follow it. We don't always necessarily read it the way we ought to. But we've got it. For the time being, at least. Alhamdulillah. Allah promises to preserve it until the sun rises in the west. So, from this what we conclude. That all throughout history has been the availability of Islam for those that would follow, submission to Allah. But at the same time, there have been those who have opposed it to try to get our footsteps off of the Sirat al-Mustaqim. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who adhere to the teachings of Islam as understood in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. And may He make us of those who submit our will to the will of Almighty Allah. Ameen. And may He make us of those who are willing to listen and learn to adjust ourselves in case we're wrong to what Allah has said in His book. Ameen. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. آمين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. آمين. جزاكم الله خير. If any of you brothers would like to have some question, we can entertain that for until it's time for Salat Zuhr. What? Hold on a second.